name is Farah Osbeck. Welcome to Military Law Matters, the podcast that gives you insight into military law so you know your rights and you don't become a victim of injustice. Today, we'll be talking to John Howley, a lawyer in New York City who specializes in labor and employment law. John's going to talk to us today about the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act, or USERRA as it is widely known. USERRA is the law that protects service members who either voluntarily or involuntarily leave their civilian jobs to perform military service. You'll want to listen to this episode to know your rights as it pertains to your civilian job when you get back from deployment. Okay. Hey, good morning, John. Glad you could join us today on Military Law Matters, the podcast that serves the best listeners in the world. These are members and former members of the United States Armed Forces. John, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Farah.
I'm so glad you could be on our show today, John. So, John, you know, it's our job on this podcast to arm our listeners with knowledge so they don't become a victim of injustice. And I know you're ready to arm our listeners with critical information today. So a little bit about John. John Howley is a trial lawyer in New York City. He has more than 26 years of experience in labor and employment cases, including arguing before the United States Supreme Court. John represents people, not corporations, in all types of employment disputes. John is also an outside counsel to the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, the union that represents more than 34,000 New York City police officers. And I know John from law school. We went to law school at New York Law School in Manhattan years ago, John, right? And John was one of the top students. He was law review and just a great student, great colleague to have around. And I recall running into John at an airport, a small airport in Montgomery, Alabama. And I knew John, you know, worked at a large law firm in New York City, so was surprised to see him there. But he was working on a pro bono case as part of his duties there. And I was in the U.S. Air Force and was at the JAG School, which is located in Montgomery, Alabama. So happy to be catching up with John again today. And John is going to arm our listeners today with knowledge on the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act, or USERRA, as it is known. And John, I know you're an expert on USERRA, so I'd love to ask you some questions so that you could help educate reserve members and National Guard members to know their rights. So before we begin our questions, John, is there anything I left out about you or your practice that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yes. You know, one of the reasons I jumped at this opportunity to do this podcast with you today is my father is a former staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, and his brother, my uncle, is a captain in the Marine Corps. So I know firsthand the sacrifices that members of our armed services do for all of us. And so it's a real privilege to be able to offer whatever help I can.
Thank you. Thank you, John. That's great. So, John, can tell us, what is USERRA?
Well, USERRA has a long name, Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. It's a federal law, which means it applies everywhere in the United States, and it's designed to protect uniformed service members with respect to their civilian employment. So it's designed to make sure that your military service does not disadvantage you in your civilian career. To make sure that you get reemployed promptly when you return from service, and to make sure that you don't get discriminated against in your civilian employment because of your past, your current, or your future military service.
Okay. Yeah. And I know it's, John, it's so important. I know when I was in the Air Force, we had reservists, National Guard members come help us out. And, you know, all these members had civilian jobs. So it's wonderful that there's a law that protects them so that when they do come do service or are deployed, there's a law that protects them. I know you're going to tell us a little bit more about the law. So who is eligible for reemployment under USERRA?
Well, USERRA protects the job rights of individuals who leave their civilian employment to perform service in the uniformed services. It also protects some people who work with the National Disaster Medical System or the Commissioned Corps of the Public Health Service. Essentially, there are five criteria for eligibility. The first is you have to hold or have applied for a civilian job at the time your service begins. The second is really critical. You have to give notice to your civilian employer before you leave for military training or service. Now, if there's an emergency and you're called up on an emergency basis and you can't give notice before you leave, you have to give it as soon as possible after you leave. But you have to give notice to your employer. You can't just go away, do your training or do your service, and then come back and expect the employer to give you your job back. You have to put the employer on notice. I'm going away for military service, and I plan to come back. There's a 5-year cumulative limit on periods of service. You have to leave service under conditions other than dishonorable, and you have to report back to your civilian job promptly after your service ends. And if you satisfy those criteria, you're eligible for a number of rights, including reemployment.
Okay. So, John, does this also, would the USERRA apply to individuals who, sometimes people volunteer to go on a tour? You know, there's a tour opportunity to deploy somewhere and they volunteer to leave their civilian job. And then sometimes someone may be involuntarily activated. Does it apply to both types of people or only people who are involuntarily activated?
Yes, it applies to both. It applies to both voluntary and involuntary military service. It also applies in peacetime and in wartime.
Okay.
The one place USERRA does not apply is if you have a state call-up of the National Guard for things like disaster relief or riot control. But almost every state in the United States has its own law to protect your employment in that situation.
Okay, John, now you talked about notice and how important providing notice was. How should someone who is going to be deployed provide notice to their employer? Can they just tell them, hey, I'm deploying, or what would you recommend?
Well, the law says that the notice can be written or oral, and it can be provided by you, the service member, or an officer of the military branch where you're serving. I strongly, strongly recommend that you give the notice in writing and that you do it in a way that you're going to be able to prove that you gave notice. So an email, a note sent by FedEx or express mail, certified mail. There are so many ways you can send notice. You can even, write a note and make a copy of it and ask your employer to sign your copy of it. But because the one thing that you have control over that absolutely has to be done is giving that notice. And you don't want to come back in a year or 2 years or even longer and have the employer forget that you gave notice verbally. And then you have to prove that you gave notice before you get any of the benefits. So I strongly recommend that you do it in writing, keep a copy, and do it by a method like, express mail or an email that you're going to be able to prove that you gave notice.
Okay, that's a good point. So even the law says you can give it orally, provide it in writing is the better way to do it,
yes.
Get it in writing. So John, one thing people might be curious about are actually companies. So if I have a company that employs only 10 people, not many people, I'm just starting up a small business, does USERRA apply to me? Because one person leaving, that's, a 10% of my company, it would be very hard on me as an employer. But what does it apply to me?
Yes, absolutely. It applies no matter how many employees work for the company. The company could have just one employee. And this is pretty extraordinary because most employment laws that apply in the civilian context, you have to have at least 10 employees or you have to have at least 50 employees before the law applies to that employer. But with USERRA, every single employer in the country is covered no matter how many employees they have.
Amazing. It's just showing how, the U.S. values our employees and wants to make sure military members can serve their country and still come back and you know, have a job to come back to. So, so talking about service members, when a service member does come back from the deployment or activation, can they have the exact same job they had when they left? Or can the employer say, hey, I filled that position, but I'm giving you this job. How does that work?
Well, you're not entitled to the exact same job. You may be entitled to a better job. The way it works is if your period of service was less than 91 days, you're entitled to the job that you would have obtained absent the military service, provided you're qualified for that job. So, for example, if you left just before you were going to be promoted or just before you were going to be transferred to a facility that was closer to your home, but you didn't get the promotion and you didn't get transferred because you went off on service, you're entitled to the job that you would have gotten if your civilian employment had not been interrupted. It has to be a comparable job. It doesn't have to be the exact same job. And you have to be qualified for it. Now, qualified for it doesn't mean that on the day you return, you can do all of the features of the job without any training or instruction. The employer has to make reasonable efforts to help you become qualified for the job if you're not getting the exact same job back. Now, if your period of service was 91 days or more, you can be returned to a job of like seniority status and pay that you would have obtained absent the military service.
Okay. Well, that's good. Reassuring for a military member is deployed. Another great feature of the law. So, John, another important thing is some people are deployed and unfortunately, you know, during their deployment, they come back and they have a disability, whether it's, you know, PTSD or some physical disability. How does that affect them going back to their old job or to a comparable job?
Well, this is where USERRA and the Americans with Disabilities Act intersect. The employer has to make reasonable accommodations for your disability. They can't say, well, you are not the same person you were because you now have a disability and you can't do your job in exactly the same way as you used to do it, so I'm not giving you your job back. They have to make reasonable accommodations. So, for example, if your old job required you to go up and down stairs and with a reasonable accommodation by moving things around, the employer can get the stairs out of the process of what you were doing in the past, the employer has to make that reasonable accommodation. If you need a special chair or a special desk or a special workstation, and it's not enormously expensive, it's something that's reasonable to do, the employer has to provide you with that equipment. If you need a change in your work schedule, and the employer is able to accommodate that without disrupting their whole business, then you're entitled to the change in work schedule. This is where it's very important to talk to a lawyer about your specific facts and circumstances, because there's a lot of case law out there about what is a reasonable accommodation in certain circumstances and what is not a reasonable accommodation in certain circumstances. And the lawyer really has to absorb all your facts, understand your situation, understand what it takes to do your job, and maybe even work with an occupational therapist or somebody like that to come up with proposed reasonable accommodations for the employer. Now, the employer should do this on their own. If you have a disability because of your military service and you come back, the employer is required to sit down and discuss with you what accommodations you need and how to make those accommodations happen and whether they're reasonable and whether the employer can do this without disrupting their entire business. The employer just can't say yes or no. There has to be a discussion with you about what accommodations you're going to need. And if they don't do that, then they violated the law. If there are reasonable accommodations and they refuse to give you reasonable accommodations, they violated the law. So there's a process here to do everything possible to get you reemployed, even if you come back with some disadvantages or disabilities because of your service.
Okay. So that's very good to know. So people, you know, military members, who come back, the facts are very important, as I can tell from you talking. It's just very important. Reasonable accommodation, but case law that discusses that, you know, there's nuances in the case. So it's important to talk to an expert. So that gets us to what happens if a soldier, airman, sailor comes back from a deployment and they go back to their job and the employer says, I don't have a job for you, and discriminates against the service member. What happens then?
Okay. Well, you can sue your employer, or you can ask the government to sue your employer on your behalf by filing a complaint with the U.S. Department of Labor. You are entitled to recover damages, and if you can prove that your employer discriminated against you willfully, then you can recover what are called liquidated damages, which basically is two times your damages. Now, which route should you take? I know a lot of really good lawyers at the Department of Labor. In fact, some of my colleagues, when I was at a large law firm, went into the Department of Labor. And if you're lucky, you'll get a really excellent lawyer at the Department of Labor. But you don't have a choice in the matter. Your case is going to be assigned to whoever they want to assign it to. And some lawyers are great and some lawyers are not. Some lawyers are going to be very, very attentive to you and some are not. Some you will get along with and some you will not. So you also have the option of going out and getting your own lawyer and choosing who you want to work with on this case. And if you decide to get your own lawyer, an experienced USERRA lawyer will represent you on a contingency fee basis, which means you won't pay any legal fees unless you win. And the statute provides that if you prevail, if you win, the employer has to pay your lawyer's reasonable attorney's fees. So it really doesn't come out of your award at all. So I have great things to say about a lot of Department of Labor lawyers, but you get to choose your own lawyer if you want to.
Okay. John, so you've given us a very great overview of USERRA. Can you give us a couple of a case or two, just so our listeners can see the application of USERRA in action and how it worked to protect the service member?
Yes, sort of. You know, I'm really committed to maintaining my clients' privacy. So as a general rule, I don't talk about my clients' cases. But there are a number of cases that have been reported publicly that I can talk a little bit about and give you some understanding of how the process really works. So there was a case involving Wachovia Securities that's very interesting because an Air Force reservist who in civilian life was a financial advisor went out on active duty. And when he came back, figuring out what position and what compensation he should get was very complicated because as a financial advisor, he wasn't paid a straight salary. He was paid salary plus commissions. And it got very complicated to figure out how much he should be paid, especially since if you're away on active duty and, you know, maybe clients have left and you're not going to get all of them back, or it takes time to get back up to speed calling your clients and reactivating your relationship with them. Well, long story short, Wachovia did not pay what he thought he should be paid. And a court awarded $779,000 based on what his historical compensation had been. There's another very interesting case involving American Airlines pilots where it's a long, complicated case, but one aspect of it I want to point out is there was a dispute over contributions to their pension plan. You see, you're not supposed to lose the value of your pension plan and the contributions to your pension plan when you're away on military service. And these pilots recovered $4.5 million from American Airlines because they were able to prove that the contributions that were made to their pension plans were wrongfully reduced due to their military service. And this is where, you know, you may come back and you may think, okay, I got my job back, but I'm not certain I got the seniority rights that I'm entitled to. I'm not certain if I got the raise that I would have gotten if I hadn't interrupted my civilian career to serve my country. And this is where you need some advice on how to develop your case, because proving, and you have to prove with a reasonable certainty that you would have obtained seniority rights and other benefits if your civilian job had not been interrupted by your service. And that might involve looking at employee handbooks, policy memos, defined benefit plans, pension plans, other similarly situated employees who did not leave for military service. And if you sit down with a lawyer who understands you, Sarah, they're going to ask you a lot of questions about your job, the people who you worked with, job responsibilities, pension plans, and those types of things. And you may find out that even though you got your job back, you didn't get all of the compensation and benefits that you were entitled to. So, for example, if you were entitled to a 3% raise when you came back, because that's what everybody else who was like you got when they stayed and you didn't get it, you may say, well, 3%, it's not a lot of money. But that 3% now puts you at a lower base than your coworkers. So next year when there's a raise, or 2 years from now when there's a raise, you're getting a raise on a lower base than they did. And that, over the course of a career, that can add up to tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. It can also affect your pension benefits. So here's point number two that you need to remember about USERRA. Point number one is give notice and make sure you have a copy of the notice so you can prove it. Point number two is getting your job back is just the beginning. You have to make sure that you also get like seniority status and pay as what you would have gotten if your civilian job had not been interrupted.
Very good. John, as I was listening to you, I was actually just thinking the same thing. I'm like, it's not just getting your job back. There's so many other nuances, the promotions, the pay increases, the contributions, as you said. So it really does benefit a service member who's dealing with these issues to go to an expert who understands this and can help the service member. And you definitely are an expert, John. So, John, how can service members get help from you if they needed to contact you?
Well, they can feel free to call me. I always begin a relationship with any potential client with a free consultation so that I can understand your situation and explain your basic rights to you. If you have a case that's appropriate for me, I handle cases like this on a contingency fee basis. If you need someone with specific expertise or someone who is in a specific part of the country, I know many lawyers who do this type of work, and I can refer you to someone else. And, you know, I've been doing this type of work and employment-related work for more than 25 years. And what I've found is I send cases to people throughout the country in Texas and California and elsewhere. And over time, they send cases to me. So it all works out in the end, especially in this area, especially with, you know, my memories of my uncle and my father, who's still alive, who once a Marine, always a Marine. It's something I enjoy doing, and people should not hesitate to give me a call. If I can help them, I'll help them. If I can't, I'll send them to somebody who can.
Fantastic, John. Thank you so much. What an excellent overview. And the one thing, all the points you made were excellent, but the one takeaway in my brain is just give notice and put it in writing. That's critical, as well as all the other things John talked about. John, thank you so much for taking the time, for arming our listeners with knowledge, things they need to know, how to spot issues. Some people may not even know about you, Sarah. So it's excellent that we were able to have you share this information with our listeners. And I really hope to have you back on the show. I know you have other areas of expertise that could help service members, either on active duty or veterans or reservists, et cetera. So thanks so much, John, and hope to be in touch with you again soon.
Thank you, Farah. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening today. The takeaway today is, if you're being activated for military duty, give your employer notice in writing. Don't do it orally. If you want to learn more about military law topics or you're armed with knowledge, subscribe to the podcast, head over to our website, militarylawmatters.com. And if you have a problem I can help you with or topics you'd like to learn more about, send me an email at info@militarylawmatters.com. And if you know someone who this podcast may help, please share it with them. Until next week, stay well and never ever give up, because there is always hope.